Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. Rivalry week is over. It's championship weekend. We've got some great football ahead of us. Army is hosting the American Conference Championship. So we're going to break down the championship matchups, recap the last week of regular season play, and then we're going to get into a little bit of discussion about what's going on with the playoff. Anyway, what's up, the Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knock Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, alongside Dano Icabesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe calling from the home of the Big House. We know that you're still celebrating, Joe, but Dano, how was the weekend, and what did you end up watching?
Oh, it was good, man. Wild. What a crazy weekend. So obviously I watched Tulane boot it against Memphis at home, and then went to the Army game, saw Army beat UTSA at Mikey Stadium. Jeez, that Roadrunners team has got a really legit rushing defense. I mean, that is, they got maybe the best nose tackle in the American Conference. Watched enough of Georgia Tech, Georgia, to convince myself that the Dogs were going down, only to discover that they somehow took it to 8 overtimes and won. That's nuts. Watched ECU absolutely boot the winnable game at home against Navy. I mean, you know, good for the mids, but my God, that was some bad football. My God, that was just awful. And then on the drive home, I listened to SiriusXM's College Blitz or whatever it's called. And, you know, that's actually a good show. It's like Red Zone, but on the radio. So kept up with Notre Dame, USC, Miami, Syracuse, the Iron Bowl, and NC State at UNC. All those were interesting games. And man, Syracuse, that's putting in the work.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you saw the post-game press conference, but the Syracuse Orangemen were talking mad trash on Ohio State. They were like, hey, we found your quarterback. You know, they're talking about Kyle McCord because that dude has been, you know, he's had one bad game all season, and he's looked pretty damn good. And I think that was a development thing, to be completely honest. But, Joe, how about you?
Well, even though it hasn't been a season to remember for the Michigan Wolverines, no self-respecting Michigan fan misses that game. So I also was watching Ryan Day flush his career down the toilet in real time. I'll have more to say about that game and its ending later. But let's just say I was surprised at Ohio State's predictability. And I think that Will Howard played the most. I played most of that game hurt after that monster hit he took, or he just played his worst game at the worst time, and it happens. Either way, shocker as the Wolverines shake up the playoff rankings and win 13-10. What a day to be a Michigan fan. Was not expecting that one. The shockers didn't stop there. As Dan already mentioned, I watched a little bit of Syracuse handling Miami 42-38. And then I watched South Carolina pull a minor upset against Clemson, which Clemson does Clemson things. Aside from that, it was good to see Army get back on track against UTSA, who, after losing to Tulsa, was on a 3-game win streak and had beat Memphis, who just beat Tulane. So by football math, that means Army should – never mind. Tyson Daly had another huge day, and Army is playing for a conference championship against Tulane. Enough said. Great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so for me, I watched, you know, Memphis and Tulane. I think that was an easy one to watch because that was on isolated by itself. Watched the four early games on Black Fridays. Yeah, freaking Ryan Day's burning his own house down, man. I mean, and I had a note for later, but I'll bring it up right now. I don't understand why these quote-unquote offensive-minded coaches and offensive coordinators always call rivalry games super, super conservatively. It's like, if there's one time for you to reach deep down into the playbook and open things up, it's against your rival, because that's the time that, like, I've kept this off tape all season. So if I'm going to use it, this is the time to use it. And I just don't understand that. I watched Clemson against South Carolina in the battle for the Palmetto State. And then all in all, like, I have to say it before we move on, this season has been absolutely madness. I don't know I don't know where we go from here. I mean, I'm looking forward to championship weekend because I think there'll be a couple more shakeups in the college football playoff committee. But, like, these guys got to get their act together. And speaking of somebody that has their act together, we have a realtor for you that can get you into the home of your dreams. If you've listened to this show before, you know that we have a sponsor here by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, she's a realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find the home of their dreams when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can help support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a new home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Astro Football this season, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. So we've modified the show a little bit this week because we've cut out some of the stuff that, like, isn't really relevant because Service Academy football is pretty much done except for the Army-Navy game, and we will highlight that after the American Conference Championship next week on the Astro Football Army Football Show. So we're going to roll right into the CFP rankings for Week 15. I have to say this. These predictions are all over the place, so there's really nothing solid until after the committee puts out their information. And even still, these predictions are probably just as accurate as the BS that's coming out of the committee, because I swear all these dudes are on the same cocaine that Rick James was using, because there is no way that you're putting together this assessment of play in college football with the exception of, like, the undefeated teams or the one-loss teams. I think those are about right, but everything else is a crapshoot. But I'll pass it over to Joe to knock out the predictions for Week 15. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm really just kind of going to give you a score update on what all these teams did and who they're facing, because as Colonel Rob said, the we don't know anything quite yet. We will after this weekend, I think. But Oregon stays at number one. The Ducks thump Washington 49-21 and will face Penn State for the Big Ten title in Indianapolis. At number two, we got the Longhorns, did enough to get against Texas A&M for a 17-7 win and will rematch Georgia for the SEC title. At number three, we got Penn State as they rough up Maryland 44-7 to punch their ticket to Indianapolis to face the Ducks. At number four, this is a head-scratcher, we have Notre Dame. They beat USC 49-35, and thanks to their fan-base bankroll and the way they travel, they are comfortably sitting at number four. I am not a believer. At number five, we got a team that will beat number four, Georgia. Took 2 days to dispatch Georgia Tech, 44-42 in 37 overtimes. As previously stated, they will play Texas for the title in the SEC in a conference rematch. At number six, we got the Tennessee Volunteers, solid win as they go to Vandy and handle business 36-23 to finish 10-2 and await the playoffs. At number seven, we have the Buckeyes of Ohio State. They lose to Michigan at home 13-10, so no trip to Indy for the Buckeyes, but they shouldn't have anything to worry about when it comes to a postseason spot. If they think they're better, they're going to have an opportunity to prove it. And I think they're better as well. At number eight, we have SMU as the Mustangs went and smacked the Cal Bears 38-6 to punch their ticket to the ACC title game against Clemson. Kind of like that. And
that's about right.
to move to 11-1 on the season. Unbelievable run they're on. At number nine, Indiana did bad things to Purdue 66-0. Do you think Indiana is still pissed off about the OSU team they played compared to the one that took the field against Michigan? Maybe. At number 10, we got Boise State. They ran circles around the Beavers of Oregon State, 34-18, to claim a spot in the Mountain West title game against UNLV. At 11, we got the Gamecocks of South Carolina. They beat Clemson 17-14 to stay in the conversation for a playoff spot, even though they have three losses. At 12, we have Bama. They handled Auburn to win the Iron Bowl and to be yet another three-loss team trying to claim a postseason bid. At number 13, we got Ole Miss. They won convincingly against Mississippi State 26-14 to keep themselves just on the outside looking in the playoffs conversation. At number 14, Miami picked the worst time to get upset, and the Canes dropped a tough one to Syracuse 42-38 and somehow dropped down to outside the playoffs even though they're 10-2.
Yeah, like that's the insanity to me. And like you look at it, they have three lost teams in front of them.
I didn't write
it's like,
that.
How does that make any sense? Like, yeah. Please justify that to me. And no one can. Like I said, somebody's got some blackmail photos. Dano, you got thoughts?
No, it's just frustrating. I mean, I put this in the chat, but you know, Tennessee is basically going to get a bye into the playoffs because they missed the championship game. So if you win the SEC championship, it works out as a push because you get a bye to the semifinal round. But if you go to the championship and you lose, that's the worst possible scenario because now you got to play the championship game and then you got to play the quarterfinal round. Dude, that's nutty. I hate that. I hate everything about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it works out if you're one of these, you know, one-loss teams that didn't make it in or a two-loss team. Like, if you lost the head-to-head matchup, you're actually in the driver's seat for the playoff because you get more time to rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And so it just shows you that, like, there's some flaws in the system, right? And I think legitimately what it should be is – in fairness, if we just went after the conference champions, the number one independent team, and then the two at-large bids, then we'll be okay because everybody's playing the same amount of football. And I think – but that would require – you know, and I said this today in the chat as well. Sports media is media, and the media has proven over the last decade that they are not trustworthy. So get your information from, like, podcasts or analysts that aren't 100% in the shoe for the SEC, because you can tell that there's a difference between people that actually watch the game of football, enjoy, and like, yeah, I can make the caveat. But like you said last week, Dano, you know, if you ask the question on Twitter, do you think Alabama can beat the other 11 teams in the playoff? And the Alabama fans say, can. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we're in the SEC. It just means more.
Bama has never lost a hypothetical game. Not ever. You know? You got people who think Bama would beat the Cleveland Browns. Like, come on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, so we're going back to the AP real quick. So we're sitting at 66 total wins in the AP top 25. And again, this, like, we keep track of this stat just because it is. You know, so you had Memphis beating Tulane, Michigan beating Ohio State, Texas beating Texas A&M, Syracuse. We noted that one. And I think the only one that wasn't noted, because these guys were not in playoff contention now, was Iowa State beating K-State by a score of 29-21. So we're at 66 total for the year. And speaking of losers, we are going to pass it over to Joe for the Blue Falcon of the week.
Ain't over yet, Buckeyes. Look, this one has to go to Chip Kelly. For those of you that don't know what role he played in college football on Saturday, I'll tell you. He was the play caller for the offense of the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday against Michigan. I know that Colonel Robb loved the idea of having two starting running backs in the backfield for the Buckeyes, but let me be brutally honest. Travion Henderson has been pretty basic this year at best, and Quinshon Judkins, he's just not a game breaker. Emeka Ogbuka, on the other hand, Ryan Williams and Carnell Tate, however, will all play on Sundays. And yes, that is the starting receiver core for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And yes, they have lost to Michigan 4 years in a row. And yes, they've had at least 8 receivers in those 4 years go to the NFL. And yes, every single game against the team up north, they abandoned the pass to commit to the run, and they've lost. Having said that, I'm handing out the Blue Falcon Award to Chip Kelly for the simple fact that I'm 3rd and 10 inside your own red zone. He runs a dive into the middle of the line when they're averaging 3 yards a carry for the entirety of the game. That's one of two things, cowardice or incompetence. But as Colonel Robb said earlier, these coaches get in these rivalry games and they put half their plays in their back pocket. I'll never understand it. I've said it plenty of times before. You're a millionaire to be competent and know who your weapons are. Because you failed your team in the biggest moment of the season, you are this week's Blue Falcon, Chip Kelly. Now, I could say a lot about the class that Ohio State showed after the game, but the internet has been flooded with it to the point that there's nothing new I'm going to say about it. You guys have 4 quarters to fight, so don't act like you want to squabble after the game. Michigan has had Texas and Oregon plant flags on their field this year because they came into the Big House and won with no skirmish, no fights. Have a little integrity and take your losses like a man. That's all I got.
Yeah, so I do have another note, and like, yes, it's interesting to see a team pick up two quality running backs. However, part of my passion for the Army football team and football in general is the use of the fullback. So I got to give a quick hat tip to the Tom Rathmans, the Mike Allstotts, Merrill Hodges, Jim Browns, and Larry Zonkas of the world. Keep in mind, there are only 5 fullbacks that have ever made it into the NFL Hall of Fame. They are woefully underrepresented in the football community, and you know, their contributions to the sport go basically unrecognized because they block all the time. And so, you know, I like fullbacks. That's why I like watching Army and Navy. But rolling on to the topic, we're going to break down the conference championship games really quickly. We're just going to give like some highs and lows and then a quick pick of the game. Keep in mind, there is no Pac-12 championship because it's the Pac-2 and that conference is no longer in existence. So we'll try and knock these out as quickly as possible. So the American Conference game kicks off Tulane versus Army Friday night at 8 p.m. on ABC. We'll give you a little bit of expanded coverage on Army because we are As for Football, so we're going to talk about that. But Army is 10-1 going into the contest. They're 8-1 in the conference. Number one rushing offense in the country. Army's average time of possession is about 35 minutes and 21 seconds. They're 50% on third down. They're 73% on fourth down. Army is the top six scoring defense and the number one red zone defense in the country. Key wins this season, ECU, North Texas, and Air Force. Key losses is one, the Notre Dame. The Tulane Mean Green, 9-3 overall, 7-1 in the conference, coming off a tough loss to Memphis. Tulane is number 33 in scoring defense. They're 39.8 points per game, 33 minutes of time of possession. They're number two on third down conversion with 52%, almost 53. They're 50% on fourth down. Tulane is number 15th in scoring defense and number 77 in red zone defense. Their key wins is either, you know, North Texas or Navy. Those are probably about tied for their best game of the season. Key losses, Memphis, K-State, and Oklahoma. Gentlemen, quick hits on your pick for this game. I'm going to take Army. Dano, how about you?
I'm not going to make a pick because that's just bad juju, but I will say I was riding my bike up to the train this afternoon. It was 25 degrees and windy, and I thought I was going to die.
Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going Army here as well. After what Memphis did to Tulane, I think there are a lot of holes in Tulane's defense that Army can exploit with that motion and just establishing the run. So I'm going Army.
All right, sounds good. ACC, Atlantic Coast Conference, Saturday at 8 on ABC. You got number 12 Clemson. They're 9-3 going in the contest. They're 7-1 in the conference. Key wins, Pittsburgh and Stanford. Like, Pittsburgh, that was a pretty good win because, like, at the time, you know, Pitt was rolling early in the season, and then they ran into the Clemson Tigers. Key losses, South Carolina probably cost them their playoff spot or at least being in the discussion, and then Louisville, and then they're taking on the ponies of SMU. So SMU is 11-1 going in the contest. They're 8-0 in the conference. Key wins this season is Pittsburgh and Boston College. Key losses is BYU and Notre Dame. What are your calls for this game, gentlemen? Give me the ponies.
Give me SMU, too. People have been sleeping on them all season. And listen, SMU has been wanting to pay people under the table forever. Are we surprised they're good at it?
No, not at all. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I've been on SMU for a month now, and I'm not looking back against Clemson. Give me the Stangs.
All right, nice. Big Ten, Saturday is 8 p.m. on CBS. So you got Penn State. They're 11-1 overall, 8-1 in the conference. Key wins this season, they beat Illinois. Key losses is to Ohio State. Number one, Oregon Ducks. They are 12-0 going into the contest, 9-0 in the conference. Key wins on the slate were Ohio State, Illinois, and Boise State, which was an out-of-conference game, which is interesting. No key losses because they have been undefeated all season. My call for the game is Penn State. I am genetically predisposed to pull against Oregon. So that is my pick. Dano, how about you?
Yeah, sorry, brother. Oregon has the best team in the country. They have all year. I mean, they've struggled with consistency in the past, but I think they just own this. This is theirs to lose.
Yeah, that's fair. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, there are plenty of times I would pick Penn State here, but Oregon has been tested, and they have answered each test with a victory. I hate to say it, but the Oregon Trail runs to the national title this year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think in their inaugural year, they win the Big Ten.
Yeesh. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Pac-12 had to die so Oregon could be on TV during prime time.
You know what I was thinking? Pac-12, they should just call themselves the Pack, like when you were buddies with a couple of kids in middle school.
Yeah. Walk around, get jackets or something.
Standard birds. You know, they just call themselves the Pack.
Yeah, that sounds good. Works for me. All right, so you got the Big 12 that Saturday at noon on ABC. You got number 18 Iowa State taking on, or they're 10-2 overall, 7-2 in the conference. Key wins this season was Iowa and K State. Key losses Texas Tech and Kansas, and you're going to see that trend all over the Big 12. Arizona State is Arizona State is number 16 right now. They are 10-2 overall in the conference, 7-2. They have an identical record. Key wins this season, they beat a ranked Utah at number 16. They beat K-State and they beat BYU, which were all good teams this season. Key losses, Texas Tech and Cincinnati. Believe it or not, Texas Tech had a pretty quiet but solid season this year. They didn't blow anybody out, and they didn't look like they were going to win the conference. But, like, I could guarantee you, you circled that date on the calendar and were prepared, because Texas Tech would slip one in on you. My pick for this one is going to be the – I was going to say the Cyclones, but had they not lost to an unranked Jayhawks team, but I'm going to give the nod to part of you, because I think Arizona State is the hottest team in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, they absolutely peaked at the right time, man. They're playing the best football. I mean, listen, I don't think they were world beaters to start the season, but they definitely are right now.
Yeah, yeah. Joe, how about you?
A team of destiny here. I've got the Sun Devils. They may be one of the hottest, not to be redundant, but they may be one of the hottest teams in the country. And Iowa State's just been inconsistent in tough spots. I think Arizona State wins big, and I got them as a lock.
Yeah, they have certainly been trending upward like the last few weeks, and it shows in the outcome of their performance. We got Conference USA Friday night at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports. So if you need a little warm up before you watch the Army game, you got Jacksonville State 8-4 overall, 7-1 in the conference. Key wins, they beat Liberty and New Mexico State. New Mexico State was really good in Conference USA last year. Don't know what happened this year. Their key losses are the Coastal Carolina, Louisville, Eastern Michigan, and Western Kentucky. So this is a rematch from in the season. Western Kentucky is 8-4 overall, 6-2 in the conference. Key wins this season, Jackson State, Middle Tennessee, and New Mexico State. So they both have a common opponent that they beat. And then losses for Western Kentucky is Bama and Boston College.
No shame there.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of puts it in a unique perspective. For me, what's a Hilltopper anyway? I don't know, but I'm gonna go with Jackson State. I think they may have the better team on paper. Wins and losses early in the season are hard to tell. Like, most of the teams now have been gelling a lot better. Whoever's the host is probably in the driver's seat. But I'm gonna give the nod to the upstarts from the FCS, Jacksonville State. Dano, how about you?
I would like to see Western Kentucky pull it off, but I think Jacksonville State has been a better, more consistent team this season. I mean, I see that they have identical records, but I'm just telling you, that's been my perception of the Conference USA.
Joe, how about you?
Very tough to beat the same team twice in the same season. So I think Jacksonville State gets a revenge and a win here. And I believe a Hilltopper is just a guy standing on top of a hill, but that really could be the watered down bird.
Yeah, I'm assuming that there's something crazy about that. So
very broad gray brush there.
Yes, very broad gray brush. I like it. But speaking of somebody that's standing on top of the hill that is not going to water down your mortgage, over to Dan for the next read.
Oof. So if you have watched this show before, you know that Craig Oxane sponsors us. So we talked about this before. Craig just switched companies. He is now an area sales rep for the Money Store. And he told me that he just wanted to move to a smaller company where he had more control of his own destiny. As we've discussed, Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He is still going to offer you super competitive rates. Essentially, he is an independent businessman working under a larger umbrella, right, that's financing your mortgage. And if that sounds confusing, it's because this mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You got, changes going on in the government right now. It is just not the time to try to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who will care about you as a person, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And this is how the network, West Point Network, functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you to get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, As we've discussed, Craig does not charge landing fees for veterans. That's still true, even with his new place of employment. That's a huge savings. It's going to save you like $1,300. That is a lot of money. You should really save yourself that money if you can. So Craig Oxane, he is an area sales rep for the Money Store. Check it out. His link is still on our website. I switched it all over yesterday, so we'll go to his new address. You know, you go in there, you either fill out a questionnaire or just send him an email. You'll be talking to him in a couple of hours. It's too easy.
Thanks, Dano. And moving on, we've got the MAC, the Mid-American Action, Saturday at noon on ESPN. So you got the Ohio Bobcats, 9-3 overall, 7-1 in the conference. Key wins this season: Ball State, Buffalo, and Akron. Key losses: Syracuse, Kentucky, and Miami of Ohio, which is, you know, interesting. Miami Redhawks are 8-4, 7-1 in the conference. Key wins: Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee State, New Mexico State. Key losses: Northwestern, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame. So not a bad roster of losses in there, all things considered. However, Miami of Ohio for me is responsible for Ben Roethlisberger. I am not a Steelers fan. Bobcats. Dano, how about you?
I have not watched any MAC really this season at all. When I was looking at this, I thought Ohio had the better resume. So give me Ohio.
Nice, Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ohio here as well. I honestly think they're playing the better football towards the latter half of the season. And I think I'm going to go towards maybe petitioning to just call this the Michigan-Ohio Conference. Have you ever looked at how many teams are in Michigan and Ohio in this conference? It's like eight. Yeah.
What is the Mid-American Conference? I mean, that's right on the nameplate.
Let's change one vowel. Michigan, Ohio.
Sounds good. All right, on to the Mountain West. So you got Boise State taking on UNLV. You got 11-1 Boise State. They're 7-0 in the conference. Key wins this season: Washington State, UNLV, and San Jose State. Key losses to Oregon. That's their only blemish on their record. UNLV is 10-2 overall. They're 6-1 in the conference. Key wins: Fresno State, Oregon State. Key losses: Boise and Syracuse. I'm really up in the air on this one, but the reality of it is if Ashton Jensen wants to win the Heisman Trophy, he needs to have a breakout game, and they must win. Like, if they don't, it's going to be hard for him to state his case when it, you know, comes to going to New York for the Heisman Trophy. Dano, how about you?
Boise State kind of swooned. I think UNLV is playing better ball right now, so give me the shock upset, UNLV.
Nice. We call Joe. How about you?
Yeah, I think Boise State wins in a barn burner here in overtime. Maybe multiple overtimes, but these teams, I just see a very even match here. And UNLV just plays really solid football, and you can't really stop Ashton Jente all game long. You can only hope to contain him. So I think he keeps Boise in it, and they pull one off in overtime to save their playoff spot.
Nice. All right, moving on to the only conference that matters, and using air fingers quotes for that because, you know, I can smell I need my hip waders for all the BS that's coming out of my mouth right now. So you got the Southeastern Conference Saturday at 4, got the Texas Longhorns. They're 11-1 overall, 7-1 in the conference. Key wins this season: Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, believe it or not. Key losses were to the Georgia Bulldogs earlier in the year. The Georgia Bulldogs are 10-2 overall, 6-2 in the conference. Key wins this season: Clemson, Texas, and Tennessee. Key losses: Bama and Ole Miss. This is going to be interesting because anytime that Carson Beck has had a quarterback on the opposite side of the field that is just as talented as he is, he kind of falls underneath the pressure. And if you did not watch the Georgia Tech, Georgia game, like Haynes King, like if that dude is not on your bingo card for like studs in college football, you are not watching college football because that kid is an animal. Like, he is one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in college football. I would not be surprised if he gets poached by Notre Dame because Marcus Freeman tends to look for quality quarterbacks in the ACC and trying to convince them to come over. So I would not be surprised if Haynes King gets wooed by Notre Dame in the offseason. But the reality of it is Georgia is very, very vulnerable in a quarterback duel. I think Quinn Ewers will play a little bit better, and the Texas defense will be the difference in the game. And so I think Carson Beck will make a mistake, whether he'll put the ball on the turf or throw a pick, and that's going to be the difference in the contest. It's going to create that one last opportunity for Quinn Ewers to close out the game. Dana, over to you.
Dude, Texas was so impressive at Texas A&M over the weekend. They just looked like the team. I mean, you know, you go into your arch rival's house and handle business straight up. And you know A&M wanted that game at home in front of all those fans. Oh, yeah. They did not care. I thought that was extremely impressive. And Georgia has not hit that level maybe once all season.
Yeah, that's true. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I've got Texas. I've been on them for a while now, and I think they get their revenge against Georgia. I think they played their worst game against Georgia, and that's a bad thing for Georgia because I don't think they got the best version of Texas. And I think Texas wins behind the arm of Quinn Ewers and goes on to play for a national title.
Yeah. All right. And wrapping it up is the Sun Belt Conference. So you got the Louisiana Raging Cajuns taking on the Thundering Herd of Marshall. So Cajuns are 10-2 overall. They're 7-1 in the conference. Key wins, App State and Coastal Carolina. Key losses, Tulane and South Alabama. Marshall, Thundering Herd, 9-3 overall, 7-1 in the conference. Key wins are App State and JMU, which are those are some quality wins. Key losses, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Southern. So truth in lending, one of my old NCOs actually works in the front office of the athletic department, so I'm going to give Marshall the nod for that reason and that reason only. I think statistically this game is a push. But both of these teams are good, and I think it's going to be a really great contest. Over to you, Dano.
It's been a crazy year in the Sun Belt. I mean, I love the Sun Belt anyway because Army played so many Sun Belt teams, and we got to know them. But, yeah, I mean, either of these teams could win. It wouldn't surprise me, but I guess I'll just take Louisiana. But on a whole, the Sun Belt is where you go if you want to get that next big shot as a coach, in my opinion, because all those coaches seem to be going straight to the Power Five.
Yeah, that is true. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, give me Marshall here. Even though I love to say Raging Cajun, I just believe that they've played the better competition, and I think they're just a little bit more of a complete team. But this one is going to be, in my opinion, a one-score game.
Yeah, I think this one will be one of the better games to watch. So if you're tune in Saturday, 7:30 on ESPN, because I think the Sun Belt – and again – and I'll pause here before we move into our picks for the week. But one of the things that I have seen is like the group of five teams tend to play better in the bowl games as well as in the later stretch of the season. Because, again, I think it really means more to them because the SEC and the Big Ten, like if you're not playing for a championship, nobody cares. And so, like, if you looked at the bowl games last year, like, does anybody remember their bowl mania from last year? No, because nobody cares. Nobody was paying attention because the bowl games were so bad. But hopefully we'll get some improvement. Like, at some point, we need to figure out how to get these kids to opt into the bowl game because I think, you know, the teams that have the most complete package of what they were at the end of the season are the ones that tend to do well. That's why Army tends to do well in bowl games is because nobody sits out. You know, because a lot of those guys are happy because like, hey, this might be my last time playing pigskin football, you know, with my teammates. So I'm going to stay in the heat of it and play. And I think that makes a difference. And you see that with some of the bigger schools that have the larger NIL pockets and some of that overall attitude. But we'll pause there for a second and then we'll roll into our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
All right, Dano, who are you picking this week?
Well, 1-2 last week, as we discussed, East Carolina just got pounded, which surprised me a lot. UConn won, but they didn't cover, which I also think is just shameful. Thankfully, Notre Dame looked like Notre Dame in the second half, so at least there's one. Give me Tulane at Army under 46.5. Like you said, these are both ball control offenses, and it's going to be blistering cold. Ohio plus 2.5 at Miami of Ohio. Kind of a dumb pick because I really haven't seen either one, but like I said, I think Ohio has a better resume. And finally, Penn State at Oregon minus 3.5. I just think that the Oregon Ducks are going to roll.
Yeah, that's fair. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, last week I went 1-2 as I picked the wrong Michigan team to cover. Thanks, little brother. Auburn missed covering by a field goal, and my lone victory was Syracuse making me look smart by winning outright when they were 10.5-point dogs. Pick one. I'm going Army plus 5.5. I think this line is wrong. Look, the Black Knights didn't play their best football game against Notre Dame, and I believe that they fully understand what this win could be historic and do amazing things for Army football if they win the ACC title. So give me Army not only to cover, but to win outright 28-27 and new ACC champs. All right. Arizona State minus -2 against Iowa State. The Sun Devils are a team of destiny as they were picked to finish last in the Big 12, yet here they are. And I believe Arizona State wins the Big 12 championship game by at least a touchdown. And then pick three, give me SMU against Clemson, minus -2.5. The Pony Express will not be stopped. Clemson is notorious for not showing up in big games, and I believe this one is no different, as SMU knows what is on the line for their season. I think the Mustangs pull away late and win the ACC title.
Nice. All right, for me, this year has been rough, man. I'm 17-19-1, which is just gross. This has been my worst picking since I've been on S for football. But that being said, take the over of 59.5 of UNLV and Boise State. I think Ashton Gente needs to have an outstanding performance to keep his hope alive for the Heisman. So they're going to have to put up a lot of points because UNLV's offense is pretty good. They'll put up some points. So do not be surprised if there's like 65 or 70 points hung in this game. Take Texas for the outright win against Georgia. I think a pick six from Carson Beck is probably going to be the difference in the ball game because he has thrown more picks than touchdowns in the latter half of the season. Do not be surprised if he does it in the SEC championship game. And again, I'm jumping on board with the Sun Devil train. I think everybody is kind of realizing that they are one of the hottest teams in college football moving in there. So take the Sun Devils to cover 2.5 against the Cyclones and win the Big 12 championship. And lastly, and this is just a betting tip for all you hardcore inveterate gamblers out there, if there is a parlay for 100 yards rushing and a TD in the Army game on daily, you may want to put some money on that one because that's almost a guarantee at this point the way his season has been going. But we're at the end of the show, folks. It's a little bit shorter this week, but that is okay. It is championship weekend. We will know tomorrow after the College Football Playoff Committee puts out the final slate, but there's going to be some wailing and gnashing of the teeth after Saturday. I absolutely think that there's going to be some position moves and people are going to get bumped around because of this. My only comment again, and I'm going to say it and I'm not going to shout it into the microphone because I don't want to bust anybody's eardrums, but no three loss teams. Like all these three loss teams that are kind of hanging out in the 10 through 12 spot, toss those guys out and find a team with a better resume. As much as like you want to be a homer for the SEC, you know, like, look, I would rather see Clemson, a two-loss Clemson team, if they win the ACC championship, go in before South Carolina. Like, that's just common sense. Don't give them too much credit for a late season loss. But I legitimately think there are some pretty talented teams out there that have played hard and they're getting overlooked due to committee bias. And, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm biased towards Army. It would be awesome to see them make the playoff. But again, I'm just happy that they're picking up hardware. They can pick up the ACC championship. They can pick up the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. And playoff or no, they have an opportunity for a bowl game this season, which is something that Army fans have been missing out on. And I think a lot of these teams are happy to see the progress that college football has made by expanding to the 12-team playoff, and then the reality has just set in because, again, this is like the BCS all over again with a different coat of paint. But that's just my opinion. Anyway, we're going to wrap the show. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I am the Angry Colonel with Dano Icabesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut and Trigger Joe calling to you from the home of the Big House. This has been the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.